Welcome to the Small Caps Podcast, where we discuss news and information related to ASX-listed companies and financial markets, keeping investors informed. Note that the content in this podcast is not financial or investment advice, and be sure to head over to smallcaps.com.au to get the latest market news. Now, without further delay, here's today's podcast.
Hello again. Great to have your company. Welcome to another edition of the Small Caps Podcast. I'm Peter Capsanis. Well, it's been a few months since we last caught up with Juan Pablo Vargas de la Vega, or simply JP, from Galan Lithium. He's the managing director of Galan, which has its flagship project Hombre Muerto in Argentina. Hot on the heels of a resource update a couple of weeks ago, the company has just made another significant announcement. To tell us more, JP joins us in the flesh in the studio. Good to see you once again, JP.
Good to see you, Peter.
Let's recap a bit. Galan is a Perth-based ASX-listed company. Before we dive deeper into that, tell us your story, JP. You are a mineral economist by trade, and you've worked for BHP across a number of its assets across WA. But then you threw caution to the wind a couple of years ago based on a hunch in Argentina. Expand on that for me.
Well, thanks, Peter, for having me today. The Galan Lithium, it's an interesting story, and I probably should write a book down the track because this is it's a life-changing moment for me. I was working as a lithium analyst at the time for a stockbroking firm. I went to Argentina for a site visit, and within that, I follow up on contacts that I had, and a new opportunity was developed. I believe in this story so much that I ended up quitting my job, selling my car, taking whatever savings I had. I moved to Argentina for 2 months, got contracts ready, put them in a private company, then did a merge with a listed company, was called at the time Dempsey Minerals. And after then, yeah, we rebranded Galan. So that's sort of the genesis of things. So in a nutshell, I had a strong hunch on fluids and how fluids moves around a salt flat. I believe that we had a chance of finding brines at Candelas, which we demonstrate, and furthermore that the alluvial fans of Hombre Muerto West were very suitable for further exploration, and everything has been demonstrated. Now we have 2.1 million tons of lithium carbonate under the category of indicators. So this is, from our point of view, it's a success and fantastic story.
When you talk about brine and fluids, you're talking about lithium brine. We're not talking about effectively hard rock. So what's the difference? You've been around quite a bit. Just explain for the layman what major and significant difference there is between, say, lithium hard rock, to dumb it down, and brine and fluids, as you call it?
Well, as you point out, there are two main sources of lithium in the world today. One is coming from the brines. So if you've seen pictures of in South America and the lithium triangle, you've seen big evaporation ponds. And the major contributors in the world for lithium brines is Chile and Argentina. So they've been producing approximately up to the, before the boom, 60% of the world lithium, and now it's around 40% of the world lithium. The rest of the lithium, as you know, or most of people are familiar with, come from Australia. So that's hard rock lithium. So this is an energy-intensive process that you have to drill and blast, truck and haul, crush and screen. There's a lot of energy to process any mineral into a concentrate. As a result, why brines are becoming really appealing, or have been more appealing in the past, and why there was only one hard rock company in the past compared to brine producers. And the reason being is nature has done all of that energy intensive process for you. So in South America, the proven method at this stage is concentrate your brines and lithium through evaporation ponds until you reach a certain level, and then you process in a chemical plant, and then you produce lithium carbonate.
Okay. Well, thank you for the clarification in that. In March, I mentioned this in my intro, in March, Gallen recorded, and you touched on it in your previous answer, but I think it's worthwhile examining and exploring a bit deeper. You recorded in March better than expected resource size and lithium grades. Then again, a couple of weeks ago, you updated your resource by size and category. So you touched on it. What's your resource you have at the moment?
We have a combined resource of 2.1 million tons, JORC 2012 compliant. So that's adding our two projects. One of them is to the east called Candelas that has roughly around 700,000 tons of lithium carbonate equivalent under the indicated category. And then to the west, we have around 1.4 million tons of lithium carbonate equivalent under the indicated. So,
and that's at HMW?
Hombre Muerto West, correct.
Yes. And HMW, Hombre Muerto West, has been a breeding ground for a lot of things. Elements for cameras, batteries for Tesla vehicles. And that's been going around for quite a while.
Yes. You could separate the salt flat in it. And by the way, the salt flat is massive. It's around 40 kilometers by 45 kilometers. So you go there and it's just a big piece of land. It's a lithium hub. So to the west, you have the Livent Corporation. We'll go back to them in a minute. And then to the east, you have Bosco, which bought the northern part of Sal de Vida from Galaxy for $280 million. That was March last year. And then to the south, you got Galaxy Resources. And further south is Candelas. The interesting thing about the purchase of Hombre Muerto, the Sal de Vida project from Galaxy to Posco, is that they bought an inventory at the time of around 2.5 million tons. Currently, we have 2.1 and we're still growing. So although I'm not suggesting that we are in the same category in terms of numbers, but that can give you a flavor when things turn around, how much price could be worth. So, and we're advancing and we are there. Interesting enough, on the west, to recap, we have 1.4 million tons. And the resource that we have there is the highest resource grade in Argentina. So by resource, there's no one else in Argentina that's got as high grade as us. So we have around 926 milligram per liter on 1.4 million tons. And there's no other projects in Argentina that can match that. So we're quite excited about the prospectivity of this. Going back in probably memory lane, the Hombre Muerto salt flat is the... is the birthplace of the lithium revolution. Livent has been producing lithium from that basin, which is not far away from us. We are all part of the same thing, since the 90s. So just to refresh your mind, if you remember the first lithium batteries coming from the Sony Handycams, those were lithium batteries from Hombre Muerto. And then you go further down the track, the Livent has been selling the production, and they produce lithium hydroxide. So they do lithium carbonate, and they process the lithium carbonate into lithium hydroxide. That lithium hydroxide goes to Panasonic in Japan. And everybody knows that Panasonic is the one building batteries to Tesla. And the reason why they're using Panasonic is because of quality. So for the lithium that is produced from Hombre Muerto West, so from Hombre Muerto in general, from Livent, and to show that can go into batteries, he answers the questions that lithium brines can produce high-quality lithium hydroxides that can go into lithium batteries. So this is keeping us very, very excited. We want to demonstrate that we have an economic project, and we are advancing in all fronts as much as we can.
Well, that leads me to, it's a good segue to my next question, JP. How good is the grade? I think you've kind of touched on that. So how does that translate into possible mine life? But given that it's the biggest resource in Argentina of its kind and it has that history with your Sony Handycams and whatnot, this is quite a really awesome narrative and a great story internationally for you and for Gallen and everyone involved. So... I know it's no one's got a crystal ball, but what do you think this means for a possible mine life, and what kind of tenure would that carry, or could that carry?
Yeah. Well, now we're going to the hypothetical world, and Taking us a base 1.4 million tons that we already have under the indicated category at Hombre Muerto West, if you divide that by half to 50% to convert that into reserves, hypothetically, then you have 700,000 tons of lithium carbonate, 750,000 tons of lithium carbonate sitting in the ground. So what does it mean? That would mean that we could have an operation producing 25,000 tons of lithium carbonate per year for 30 years. That is a long, long, long time. You can do 20, and if you do 20, that will be 45 years under the same metrics. So do we have enough? The answer is yes. Now we have to prove how economic this is going to be, which I believe that we have a chance, and a strong chance. We are seeing that Galaxy is advancing now on the Sal de Vida project as well. And if they can be profitable, why cannot be profitable?
Galaxy is being one of your neighbours, is that right?
Correct. We share this all flat. We, as I mentioned, we three large companies. Galaxy is one of two of the east, and they're advancing with the project. And we know that POSCO is quite busy as well. They've been quite actively, and the camp has been, they got a fantastic camp, and they're investing. You can see that they're busy. So the interesting thing about POSCO is a large company that has decided to buy a mine pretty much and develop that themselves. They have their own technology. They've been very secretive about it. But an industrial company to integrate all the way back to source the lithium from the ground, to me, is testimony as the quality of Hombre Muerto. You cannot find another Hombre Muerto. And why quit my job? It's because Hombre Muerto gives you the best setting in Argentina for high grade and low level of impurities. So if you turn back the clock to Livent's time, they went around Argentina for a while doing the due diligence on all the salt flats before the lithium boom started. And they came down to the conclusion that Hombre Muerto is the best setting for producing lithium. High grade, low impurities. POSCO could have purchased any salt flat in Argentina. You know, this is recent. And if you look at the chemistry of most of the salt flats, and this is something that we have in our presentation. So if you go into our presentation, you can see the level of impurity setting compared with grade. And you come to the same conclusion. Hombre Muerto has a better setting of high grade, low impurities, and that says something. Maybe in today's term, POSCO overpaid for what they've done, but at the end of the day, you cannot replicate the chemistry and the goodness of that salt flat.
Well, it's I can see the smile on your face. It's glowing for miles to come. So here we are in 2020, JP. You've got the resource, the indicative resource. It's got a history, and it all follows based on a hunch. And what a interesting hunch! And it's from a dream to a reality. It's become for you. Here we are in 2020, in amongst COVID and the pandemic and whatnot. Now your flagship project has been given another significant boost with breaking news that you've appointed Worley to conduct the economic assessment on HMW. What does this mean for Gallen even further, JP?
Well, it's in a context, it's been less than 18 months since we put our first drill hole. So we, despite constraints and despite COVID, we've been able to advance our project solidly. We have increased the size, we have gone into from inferred to indicated, and we're ticking boxes. So we've done this in a methodical way. We've been trying to engage the best companies that we can, all along from geophysics to drilling to resource estimate and so on. Now, to have Worley to engage to do our economic assessment into Hombre Muerto West for us is, it feels like we're earning our stripes. It's like we're changing gears, we're going in a step change. We've been considered by one of the best engineering companies to do the economic assessment. And just for context, Worley has a strong presence in South America, We're doing this via Worley Chile. They've been very engaged with the local lithium companies in Chile, and also we can say the same about Argentina. So there is a lot of knowledge behind them, and a very well-known and accredited experience for them to be used into showing that we're doing these things the right way, starting one the best we can. And this, what it means for the future is that we're doing things just once. We're trying to avoid doing double work. I know that we cannot answer all the questions. You know, there's always something else that can come from left field. But we're trying to get the best experience available. So that's something that we always aim for. As a junior company, it has cost us more. But I think that in the end, you know, when Worley said who you use for geophysics, who you use for your resource estimate, who you're using for all the chemical engineering that we're doing, now they can turn around and say, yeah, we feel comfortable with everything you've done. So now we're going to put it all together and going to do the economic assessment. So that will eventually bring the attention from funds, and we've seen some of that already, and we hope to get the large attention from the market to see that we are a serious candidate to become a project and to be developed in the years to come.
Well, it's you mentioned funds, and we should point out that you're an ASX-listed company, but you are a Perth-based ASX-listed company, and here you are talking about all the great prospectivity and future that lies ahead for Gullen Lithium all the way over in Argentina. But I mentioned earlier that you are, in fact, there's an international narrative and story to all this, and one of your fund investors is, in fact, based in Europe, called Thematica. Who are they, and why are they a significant stakeholder in your operation?
Well, Thematica, it's an European fund based in Luxembourg with offices in Switzerland. We met them last year, and they got very interested into our project. They've been following us close to 9 months, and in their recent cap raise, they decided to join. We are quite happy to have a fund that focuses 100% in renewables. It's got a clean, if you look at where they invest, it's just all companies that are into the green revolution, if you want to call it. So they invest in lithium, they invest in hydrogen, and companies that do recycling as well. So they're a very interesting fund, and the fact that we are the smallest company that they are invested in, and the fact that they invest even before we finish our first economic assessment, that shows the strength in the view of our project. And also, I need to highlight, we have Daniel Jimenez, which was the senior vice president for commercial for SQM. So Daniel's got 25 plus years experience in lithium. So Thematica really like the fact that Daniel is in our board and somebody with a lot of experience, and they well regard Daniel. So I think if you ask me what was the last bit for them to join us, was the fact that we have someone that of that caliber in our board. And Daniel has been fantastic. He's been very proactive. He's been helping in every step of the way. He's done far and beyond what he's asked for a non-executive director. So we couldn't be happier with his knowledge, view, and engagement. So, the world is changing in our register for us. We do have interest from family funds from Denmark, from Norway already in our register. But the fact now that we have a proper fund in our register, it makes us feel that we are going in the right directions. And we like more of that. And we know that funds are more cautious and will take more time. But the fact that we are doing things systematically in the right way with the right companies, this is going to come in time. And I'm very pleased with the development and the speed that we've done things. And I'd like to probably do a bit more. We have constraints and we have to work with what we have.
Well, it's the story keeps getting better and stronger JP, and in, as you say, in a short space of time, 18 months or so, based on a whim and a hunch, it looks like that the future looks quite rosy and sunny going forward. And in terms of the economic assessment, when do you hope Worley Parsons in South America to have it finished by?
We estimate that Worley will take approximately 3 to 4 months to finish the, probably 4 months before they finish their economic assessment. We are going to be working with them as much as we can and trying to expedite everything that we have. We have a strong team in Chile and Argentina. My team in Argentina are also shareholders, so we're all motivated to make this work. And you know, a reflection of the speed that we're moving as well is because we have very motivated people all along in Chile, Argentina, as well as Australia. So, and I spent pretty much half of my time in Argentina to make this work as well. So before COVID, pretty much I was on the plane and I spent a lot of time in Argentina and Chile. And it's paying off because I've got a well-oiled team. So everything's moving along. So, and yeah, it's a matter of fact, before we start showing our results and see how competitive are we going to be. You know, I believe that we'll be competitive. It's just a question is how competitive we'll be. Are we going to be top five, top three? These are the questions that I have that I'd like to answer.
And before I let you go, do you does your team over there plan on carrying out any more drilling activity between now and the next few months at all?
Not currently. We're not doing more drilling as in the short time. What we're doing, and this is what it's keeping us active, is we are monitoring the exploration wells that we have. So we are extracting brines and we're having our own inventory. We'll be in the near future having our own, once we finish the modeling, we'll have these swimming pool types of ponds at site to do evaporation and start looking at the evaporation rates. We'll be sending brines to the labs as well, because we want to know what's going to be, you know, once we finalize all this modeling from the PEA, we'll have a footprint to test at a lab in terms of this is a blueprint that we want to test, and we're going to adjust accordingly. So we're active at site. We'll have our own inventory of brines. We'll start evaporating and we'll start testing, sending benchtop data that we'll have once we've finalized the assessment. So it's this seems like a small task, but a very important along the way of the things that we're doing.
Certainly an exciting few months lie ahead. I can sense it and see it in your voice and face, JP. Look, thanks again for dropping by. It's great news that another WA ASX listed company is vying and pushing ahead in the whole world of lithium, and putting WA on the map yet again, albeit this time in South America. JP, thanks for dropping by. It's good to have a chat face to face as opposed to online. And please do keep us informed on what lies ahead and what the next chapter is in the Gatton Lithium story.
Yeah, thanks very much, Peter.